Hello there. We're trying to keep Choral Chihuahua going, and so we draw your attention to the possibility of listening to us on Patreon for just a few quid a month. This also magically gets rid of the ads. That's Patreon with an E, patreon.com/choralchihuahua. On with the app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, folks, and welcome to a special emergency session, Choral Chihuahua.
It's a BBC Singers thing.
I'm here with Eamon. What are you doing today, Eamon?
Well, today I'm mostly sitting at home, having been struck down by COVID yet again. Not terribly interesting. And with young eldest son off school as well.
Time to think. I've literally just jumped off my bike, coming in from a University of York rehearsal. I'm stuffing popcorn in my mouth to try and get some food in. It's one of those evenings as a freelance musician you don't quite eat properly.
The glamour.
Yeah, exactly. I had a pork pie earlier on as well. we're here to talk about the BBC Singers. Just obviously very disappointed and sort of upset on behalf of not just our colleagues, but for the industry, really. But let's get straight in with music. I think for me, and I think you, because you suggested this piece, had people talked about the BBC Singers 40 years ago, maybe, you know, when I was a student, this would have been the sort of thing we'd have thought that they did absolutely par excellence beyond anyone else. What are we hearing?
So this is a work by Boulez. It's Le Soleil des Eaux, and it's a two-movement cantata, and this is the movement called La Sorgue.
And this is difficult, hard to sing contemporary music, but actually fantastic stuff to listen to.
Thank you.
Well, whether or not that floats your particular boat, and, you know, I'm sure listeners who enjoy, for example, Exaudi's work, one of the great ensembles that specialise in contemporary music now, will be thinking, gosh, that's not new, that's written in the 70s or something. But can we explain, Eamon, a bit about how a choir can go about learning that music? Why is the BBC Singers able to do that when other British choirs just can't really?
Well, Boulez called the BBC Singers the jewel in the crown, and he would actually take the singers with him on tour around the world because he thought they were the choir, as you said, par excellence at performing his music. And, you know, it might not sound modern to our ears nowadays, but that is seriously complex music, isn't it?
And it needs time, doesn't it?
It does need time. You know, if we were to do or to try and do something like that, or any time that I've been part of a performance of a piece that is technically and musically extremely challenging, it's like it's a major event in my musical life, and it takes days of individual work and practice at home to learn the piece and then rehearsals. The BBC Singers do this as part of their weekly schedule, and they've done this for decades.
And they can, because they're a salaried choir, the singers have those little luxuries that those of us who were or are freelance not used to, sickness pay, those sort of benefits, pension, because they're part of the BBC, which leads to, you know, if they decide that they need 2 weeks for something, and frankly, the BBCs don't get 2 weeks for too many things, but back in the day, back in the 1780s, other European choirs were doing things like this. They could have, I remember going and singing in the 80s as an extra for a French choir. We had something like 3 weeks to learn a piece by Dalla Pucula, which, you know, one could have done, I suppose, in a week in the UK with a choir like this. And it's the only UK choir that can do this. And I think that that's the first thing for people to, I mean, what do people know of the BBC Singers? Maybe you hear them on the carol competition at Christmas or as part of an afternoon concert or something like that. I think one of the problems possibly is that they do so much stuff and actually the marketing is a little bit quiet about it all sometimes. And they, part of this business about trying to get people to understand is they've done so much that they don't get really credited for.
I think that's it. They're always there, but they have always been there, but maybe a little bit in the background, as you say. It's a fair point. But the versatility of what they do, of course, is something that we just, you know, it can't be overstated, really. I mean, we've just heard Boulez there and saying, you know, quite how hard that is. That culture to perform that kind of music and to develop a familiarity with these very, very, very challenging, complex scores, you know, you don't get that overnight. And that culture, the culture of singing that kind of music is something that is developed over years and years of working with composers like this.
You need cojones of steel, really. And that you can do in a supportive environment when you understand the setup and you understand your colleagues and you know what the deal is. It's hard to explain. I suppose it's hard to explain for choral music because people tend to think music is all about talent and having a nice voice, and it's so much more than that. Look, just to show how versatile they are, let's go to something from about 1500. This is, or did we say who that last piece was performed by? The BBC Singers, Phyllis Brynjolfsson, I think, was the solo soprano. Boulez conducting himself.
Yep.
And the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Well, let's hear them from about 2015. This is a piece by Antoine Brumel, very, 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 very simple, and not a piece you would have given to the BBC Singers in the 1970s. I think it's not, you know, there was so little performance, this kind of stuff around then. But here is Brumel, and here's the BBC Singers, sounding like a choir specialising in early music, but here there's just a little bit of extra warmth to it, I think.
Thank you.
Secret Lilium by Antoine Brumel, the BBC Singers, conducted by our very own Robert Hollingworth. I mean, Robert, I'd have been hard-pressed, actually, to say who that group was if I'd heard that cold.
Yeah, again, that goes back to the branding thing, doesn't it? You know, most choirs that you think of, you think of the Talis Scholars or you think of Ixaudi, specialising is a thing that the world understands. The world understands a brand. And the trouble with the brand of the BBC Singers is they're just so flexible that they really, I mean, everyone's been saying in the last week they can do everything. I mean, there are singers in that group that are gods. Helen Neves, Emma Tring, Rebecca Lee, just three of their sopranos. You'd be lucky to get any of those for a Messiah anywhere in the country. And we're going to hear in this next piece, actually, should we go straight on to a bit of Ravel. Astonishing work by both Rebecca singing very, very low. She's a high soprano in some ways, but she has this fantastic facility with the lower part. And this is an arrangement of Ravel. This is one of the Clutus Gottwald arrangements. Listeners might be familiar with these. He's done a lot of arrangements of 1920s and 1930s French music because there's so little French 20th century choral music of high quality. There's a little bit of Debussy and the Ravel Trois Chansons. But here he's arranged one of the Trois Poèmes de Mallarmé, and this is 1913. And the original spec for this is two flutes, singer, two clarinets, string quartet and piano. He's arranged it for 16 voices. And we recorded this last March with 16 voices. And these soaring sort of string lines, and Emma Tring was just soaring up to the top onto this B and then just into this top C. Remember, that's Allegri Miserere stuff, but just soaring up there onto a sort of pianissimo. And then there are bottom Cs at the end for the piano, of course. And I remember the engineer coming up and just moving the microphone close to Jimmy Holiday, the low bass. And he said, "What are you doing that for?" And he said, "Oh, we need more bottom C." He said, "Oh, I'll sing it louder then." we're laughing. A bottom C is not a note you can generally sing loudly, but Jimmy can. You can sort of hear it on this. It's just ravishing singing. I mean, is this the same choir?
Thank you.
whistling effect there. Got Bell's Whistling. He's trying to get effect of the string harmonics. It's really nicely reimagined for voices. But the, I think that's the colour. I mean, you remember we did that episode on vibrato, you know, or very early on. And the thing is with the BBC singers, they'll sing it any way you like it. But the glorious thing is I don't even remember discussing vibrato in that project because, and you hear Emma soaring up to that B and then C. It was all about the line and the colour, and they listen so hard. And they want to be pushed. That's the thing you need to know about the BBC singers. It's no good in just going and being nice. They want to be pushed. They want to develop. The other thing about this, you know, Emmetring sings in Exaudi, James Weeks' group. Kira Hendrick sings for Fagilini sometimes. So does Rachel. They all sing in other groups. And that's the strength of it. And they have the flexibility of the ensemble. So they're constantly being stretched and pulled in other ways. And they bring that experience, A, back into the BBC singers, but then take their BBC singers experience out to others. It's a strange ecosystem, isn't it?
It seems to be a really healthy one, though, because I think, you know, they've never sounded better. And I think every time that I've heard them in recent years, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to conduct them a few times in recent times. And they just get better and better. The voices seem to they sound like they're getting fresher.
Yeah.
I mean, there has been a change of personnel to some extent, but I just think they're in such great nick, and it's why this news in the last week has been just so completely nonsensical and heartbreaking is because they are absolutely at the height of their game.
We were sort of, I mean, it's an easy thing to say, isn't it? They're just sounding so good. They really are sounding as good and better than they ever have. And all these conductors, you know, they on the podcast, the Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell podcast, someone came up to Rory Stewart in Jordan or somewhere and said, why are you doing this to the BBC singers? I had an American student saying there are two things that I associate as absolutely world leaders in the UK, and that's the BBC and choral music. I've got students who, you know, were hoping this might be part of their career, just saying, well, you know, what's all this for? Anyway, we're trying not to get too much into the politics of it today because we don't know. We're not in there. Supposedly, there's going to be some new choral initiative. I find it rather strange that they haven't announced what that is at the same time as announcing this cut. You all know there's a big petition. That's 100,000 people have signed it. That's quite an awful lot for a choral group. What are we going to hear next, Amy? This is you, isn't it?
No, we're going to do... So next we're going to look at a piece by a lady called Gabriella Lena Frank. And this is from a programme, just a recent programme, celebrating International Women's Day. And this is Jalapeno Blues. An American composer, born 1972, very interesting heritage, a Peruvian sort of Chinese mother and Lithuanian father. She describes herself as a musical anthropologist, so many different cultural styles influencing her music. And I think you hear this a lot, especially in this piece. The poem is by Trinidad Sanchez Jr., or Trino, as he was known. He was a Jesuit brother who then, in the latter part of his career, focused on prison ministry. And Robert, you're going to tell us a little bit about the poem.
Well, I'll just read it. Some of it's very, very clear in the setting and some of it's full-on choral. Trigger warning, it's about a suicide. And it starts, I had never written a poem about Brandon Dever. Diva, who drew pictures of crying clowns who were tired for his 80-year-old grandmother, his only local relative. She'd never taken him to the circus to see real clowns and did not know if he wanted to be one. She loved his smile. They made her smile. He lived with his grandmother on Reaver Street in a part of the city politicians visit for the votes. He was an orphan. His parents died when he was 8. She loved his smile. He was the man of the house. At 10 p.m. he called his grandmother. He didn't want her to worry. He would be out in 3 years. Time would go by fast. He told her he loved you. I told her he loved her. At 11 p.m. in his cell, Brandon Dever hanged himself. The hanging stunned the guard who found him, stunned the guard who allowed him the phone call, stunned the prisoners, stunned the judge, stunned his lawyer, stunned his grandmother, stunned those of us who read Thursday's paper. I had never written a poem about a 15-year-old boy hanging himself. about Brandon Dever. Would it make a difference?
Section of Jalapeno Blues by Gabriela Elena Frank with the BBC Singers with their chief conductor Sophie Jenner, the brilliant Sophie Jenner.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got to point out how many other women conductors of British professional choirs are there? Ah, yeah, well, I think we've answered that question because we've only got one professional chamber choir, but she's done such interesting repertoires, two International Women's Day concerts she's done now. I mean, we could have picked all sorts of other things out of that programme. We've taken that from Radio 3. Please go and listen to the whole concert. There's such interesting stuff on. There's a new piece, new commission by Lucy Walker. And I suppose that's one thing we could say. If it was not you and me, but two other people doing this program, they would have chosen totally different pieces. And I don't just mean something within the same style, but, you know, we could have played Mozart. There was Bach. They were doing Bach last week. Today, they've been at the Royal Academy of Music, standing in front of student conductors, giving student conductors a time of their life. I mean, there's just so much that they do. I do wonder about this. You know, if they make it through this, I hope they'll be allowed to do more of their own marketing and sell themselves a little bit, because I think there's something to be gained from that.
Of course, a substantial part of their work and the work of the BBC Singers is supporting and commissioning and giving a platform to living composers. And they've absolutely grasped and run with this principle of having a 50-50 split between male and female composers in contemporary programming.
Who else is doing that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, who else can, in a sense? You know, it's because they've got the backing of the BBC, they can afford to do this.
And they can afford to commission, you know, they have budgets for this.
Yeah, indeed. They can take risks that maybe some other groups aren't able to take as many risks, shall we say. And that leads us on quite nicely into the next composer we're going to look at. And this is someone who the Singers introduced me to back in 2019, I think it was, Bernard Hughes, when I was invited to conduct a program of his works or his works and his influences. And I just wanted to read a quote from Bernard. This is something that he tweeted this week. He said, "I owe the BBC Singers my career as a choral composer. From my first workshop with them in 2003 up to a Proms premiere in 2021, it has been a complete honour and pleasure to work with the group." And that is quite some journey, isn't it? To be a composer workshopping a piece with them back in 2003. And then this piece was premiered at the Proms in 2021. And as he says, that wouldn't have happened had it not been for the Singers and their championing of his works.
Well, that letter signed by 700 composers from around the world that was published today, I think a lot of them would feel very similarly, that they were given a chance and they were shown things. There are school children who are shown, you know, hear something like that. To hear Singers, remember that was an early thing for us in John Labouchardier's show, the Full Monteverdi, the physical effect of being that close to several singers singing together can be quite overwhelming. It can also have interesting side effects. One of the children in a workshop in January came up to Charles Gibbs and said to him, "I think you're. I don't know. I think you are. You a comedian?" He was. I don't know, for those of you who know Charles, that's marvellous. He tells that story with enormous pride. What are we going to hear? I know we've thought about this because it's so interesting, this piece. It's impossible to listen to this and say, "Oh, yes, that's Bernard Hughes," because the pieces sound so different and it's so inspired by the colours and the poetry.
Exactly that. So this set of three pieces were commissioned by the BBC Singers, first performed, actually 2020 it was, and it's called Precious Things. And the words are by a poet called Anthony Dunn, who's a friend of Bernard's. And it's talking about three precious materials: gold in the first movement, helium in the second, and then crude oil in the third. And the kind of Bernard's just reaction to the different elements, the different textures of them. And he puts them, well, as you say, they're so different. I mean, they are so different as materials, and the musical material that he comes up with could not be more contrasting.
And in fact, we're just going to dip into them. We want to hear the opening because it's a terrific opening. And then we're going to hear some of the helium one, which is a great moment in it when the low bass comes in. And just when you think that's low, I think it must be Jimmy Holiday coming in underneath him. And then just start of the third one. Oh, we'll do the whole thing another time.
Thank you.
Moments from Precious Things by Bernard Hughes, BBC Singers, again, conducted by my colleague Eamon Dugan, 2020, Eamon.
That's right, January 2020. And what a joy it was to meet Bernard then, and glad to say I've been able to commission him myself, actually, in subsequent times.
He also listens to this programme, I think, on occasion. We were meant to be doing Bach, weren't we? You were in the middle of your two Bach programme with Nicholas. Nicholas Mulroy. And so that's there for people to listen to. And the next one will come out next Monday. And I hope we've just sort of touched on what an institution the BBC Singers are. It's very easy just to become very NIMBY about this and say, oh, no, you can't change anything. We understand there has to be change. And we understand that budgets have to be worked to. BBC doesn't work in a vacuum. But I just wonder if the decision makers understand, A, the depth of feeling, and B, the different levels on which the BBC Singers works. And this idea in the press release that they need to create a more sort of agile ensemble, by which I think they just mean occasionally some freelancers. I think that just throws everything out, all those things that we've been talking about that allow a group of singers to breathe in with confidence when the conductor's arm goes up, and to allow themselves to make mistakes in rehearsals early on without feel, oh, I'll be out next week, you know, hope no one behaves like that, but it can happen elsewhere. I'm rambling. I just think they're fantastic. And everyone I've been talking to this week who's worked with them and who's heard recent performances by them, and people have been going out and listening, haven't they, have been just slightly awestruck by the range of music they do. And we're going to finish with a piece by Laura Mvula. Do you know this one?
I had heard this one before, but it was really nice to revisit it. This is the Song to the Moon.
Yeah, which is a 2013 album. Was it her debut album? What do I know?
God, did I just say Song to the Moon? It's not Rusalka, is it? It's Sing to the Moon.
Sing to the Moon. Right. Oh, I think I leave that in. Anyway, it's definitely not the Song to the Moon. And it's her arrangement. And, you know, you could think with a salary choir, well, they just sort of turn up and do it. And you and I know that that's not the case. But go and watch the film of this on YouTube. They are so committed in their singing to this. I mean, we could criticise the colours of the shirts in this, in this particular thing. But the other thing we haven't said is it's got women in it and they sing like women. And that's a glorious, glorious thing. You know, whether it's Brummel or... And you know, people be thinking, oh, he means vibrato again, doesn't he? I don't. I just mean that their femininity, their approach to everything, comes across. And Helen Neave singing the sort of high soprano solo in this, she just lays into it, and it's just kind of glorious.
Exactly that.
Here's a bit of the text. Maybe it's not so inappropriate. Hey there, you shattered in a thousand pieces, weeping in the darkest nights. Try to stand up on your own two feet and stumble into the sky. When the lights go out and you're on your own, how are you going to make it through till the morning sun? Sing to the moon and the stars will shine. Hey there, you looking for a brighter season? Need to lay your burden down? Drowning in a hopeless feeling, buried under deeper ground? When the lights go out, it's a waiting game. Never going to see a day when your world will change. Sing to the moon and the stars will shine over you. Lead you to the other side. Sing to the moon and the stars will shine over you. Heaven's gonna turn the time.
Thank you.
Conductorless BBC singers there, singing from memory in Laura Mavoula's Sing to the Moon, and an entirely fitting way to bring this little love letter to the BBC singers to a close.
You can still do something. The change.org petition is out there. It's over 100,000 signatures now. That's a lot of people caring about a chamber choir. I wonder how many of them come from abroad, because how we're seen from abroad is something we forget sometimes. You could also write to your MP, ask what the real rationale for getting rid of the BBC singers. And let's not forget the orchestras that have been asked to cut 20% of salaried posts as well. Thanks for listening. Do share this, do get it out there. And Eamon and Nicholas will be back next Monday when they'll finish off their series about the Bach Passions. Cheerio.
Bye for now.
Just before you go, another reminder to try listening on Patreon, which costs just a few pounds per month. Or if you prefer, you can very simply make a one-off donation. You can actually do either via choralchihuahua.com. Thanks.